Although, strictly speaking,
yes,
tomorrow is the first day of the new year.
Oh, are you doing this shit?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ian Boothby, and welcome to 2015.
Yes, that is correct. Today is the first day of 2015.
Right. The baby new year is still a baby. The old man last year, who aged terribly in 1 year,
yeah,
has been taken out and put on an ice floe and sent off.
Although, strictly speaking,
yes,
tomorrow is the first day of the new year.
Oh, are you doing this shit? Is this the fucking, are we doing millennium bullshit again?
That's right.
Okay.
The millennium starts 2001.
Everybody. Oh, okay.
2001.
Are we in the, Dave, are we in the millennium yet?
Well, yes.
Okay, good.
We're in the millennium.
Well, let's just forget the whole thing, yeah, then. We're fine, right? We're already on board.
The rapture's
Why
happening.
Why are we fighting?
We
first thing out of the gate.
It's our new
You
new
don't
year's
start
resolution.
With year zero, everybody. It's like, okay, fine.
It's our New Year's resolution is to start with a rap battle.
A rap battle? Oh, okay. I feel like rap battles are a little old. There must be some other type of battle that people will be doing, you know, in the near future. But rap battles, I mean, people were rap battling in the late 90s, for crying out loud.
Maybe they're doing like techno battles now.
Could be.
Yeah, kind of Skrillex, whatever that guy's name is. Skrillex. Is it Skrillex?
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the villains from Land of the Lost. The Skrillex.
Exactly.
They were lizard people and they were very still and you'd walk by them and then they just go...
Oh, man.
And
when
chase after you slowly. And like, how are you going to get away? I don't know. A brisk walk. There you go. You're done.
When I was Christmas shopping at Sears, they had in like a clearance bin. It said kids movies. And so I went and looked at it because I'm a kid. I'm a kid at heart.
Now, Dave, were you at the softer side of Sears?
I was, yes.
Or at the manly side of Sears?
This is the manly side, actually. This is right near the lawnmowers and everything.
Oh, okay.
So right near the hardware,
okay,
craftsman tools part of Sears. But they had this little table set up and it said... kids clearance movies. So whenever I was looking at them, by the way, they weren't kids clearance movies. There was movies in there that you would
a lot of hardcore porn.
Yeah, there was a lot of hardcore porn
behind
in there.
The green door,
behind the orange door as well. There's a lot of doors, but
why is that worse? I actually stated the name of a porno movie, and you went, "No, listen, also behind the orange door." What's that mean?
Well, it was.
Why
just,
is that? Why is that a topper in
was,
any way?
It was later in the rainbow. So,
okay,
you know,
sure.
It just the things got worse as they went in that series. Behind the green door, it's a tame film.
You know what? Green is later in the rainbow than orange.
Have you seen the Roy G. Biv?
Yes, it is.
You're right. But they do it upside down. They do it backwards.
And that's how they do it in the porno movie, behind the green door as well.
That's right. Which, have you ever seen that film?
Yeah. In fact, I saw it across the street from here when there used to be a porno theater. And they were having a classy porno night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know what happens at classy porno nights? You get bored real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe they did that at another local theater. They did Debbie Does Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people realize that you can really only enjoy about 5 minutes of a porno film before it loses its luster and its lust.
Okay.
I guess the lust never leaves. It's a porn film. But anyway, so in this clearance bin, they had four seasons of Land of the Lost. And I was kind of tempted to buy them. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered that I didn't like Land of the Lost. So it's the usual thing that happens when I'm overwhelmed
now,
by my obsession.
Now, was this the original?
Yes, they crossed,
okay,
crossed
well,
the show.
Wait a second. Because I understand.
Okay.
But there's been two versions of Land of the Lost. Mm-hmm. It got rebooted like a couple of years ago. Not the movie. I know there was the movie. But before then, there was a TV version of Land of the Lost where they tried to make the Sleestaks creepier.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. It was the original.
It was the original, yeah.
Yeah, and man, I forget what the name of it is again. It was Lost Something, but they tried taking some of that footage and make that into another show as well. Man, they just tried to repurpose that thing,
mm-hmm,
Six Ways to Sunday. Well, there were some good ideas from the show.
Yeah.
Good ideas. I don't know if it was a great show, though.
Yeah, I think if if you watched it now, you'd be like kind of like, ooh, the acting. It wasn't really, but you know what I was thinking was.
At least there wasn't a laugh track.
You know,
in every other Sid and Marty Krofft show where it's just like, hey, I got a peanut butter sandwich. Ha, 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 says the laugh track. Too much.
You know,
way too much.
I haven't seen Land of the Lost probably since I was in grade 6.
Okay.
So that's how long it's been since. So that's a long time ago.
But
that was a long time
but
ago.
But if I was to say Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition, would you be able to finish Met the Greatest Earthquake Ever Known?
No.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Like, I know the general story
of it. It's a good song.
But
it's a good title song.
The Sleestaks freaked me out. Well, it kind of took the Gilligan's Island thing, right, of telling you the story of the show.
Yeah, but Gilligan's Island was just sit right back and things fun. We're going to tell you a thing. But yeah. This one actually had the everything is fine. Things are really, really good. And then some shit went down and things didn't go really good. And then everything went blah, 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 and they better fucking run. Here's a dinosaur. It was a pretty good song. Yeah.
But I'm just saying it borrowed the idea of because
well, the idea of explaining what happens.
That was revolutionary for Gilligan's Island.
Okay. All right.
Because when he brought the idea to the TV to the studio,
right.
They're like, well, it's an interesting idea, but no one's gonna understand what the show's about. Like, they're not going to get the idea of the show, because they wanted, like, things that people could turn on and go, duh, guy moves to the country from the city. Right. I get it, you know.
So if the first scene you see is them on an island, and then Gilligan's looking off, and Skipper comes up and goes, I hope we get rescued this week.
Yeah.
But that would not be enough for these folks.
I guess, because people want to know, how did they get there? Why do they end up, why are they there? Why is there those people?
A shipwreck seems like, you'd have to keep explaining. That diverse crowd. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
You'd have to keep explaining it. So he actually wrote this song, and he got this band together, and he took them to this party where he knew the executive was at. Mm-hmm. And he set them up, and he got them to play the song for this guy at this party. And he's like, this is how we'll explain it. We'll have this song, and it will tell them what the show's about. As you know, so every show will tell the people watching it the setup. And so he played them the song. And so he took that similar idea and took it to the Brady Bunch as well. So the Brady Bunch always sets up what the show is. So you don't have to have any kind of, you know, boring explanation of, gee, it's lucky that we found each other and we're able to blend our two families together and da-da-da-da, and that the girls are York and the boys are mine.
The thing about the Brady Bunch, I'll say the thing about the Brady Bunch in a second. Let me say this
say
about
it right now.
No, let me say this about Gilligan's Island. My wife and I, on our first trip to Hawaii many years ago, we said, let's go to Hawaii. And we were big fans of Hawaii Five-0. So we stayed in the hotel that is the – when you see Jack Lord in the hotel at the very beginning and he does the turnaround, like, ba 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 ba, and they're like, Jack Lord, and he turns around. And they're in that – I think it's called the Ilokai.
And you went, and we went Felix later.
No, we did not.
Oh.
So we stayed in that hotel. It was like, oh, this is great. We're staying in this hotel. It was fun. And then went on, like, is that where Gilligan's Island started? And then we looked it up and it was like, it is! There's the docks where they started their cruise.
Oh, that's great.
So that was a bit of a thrill.
Yeah.
Okay, Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch.
Here's the thing about Brady Bunch.
Here's the thing, everybody.
The blended family part?
Sure.
No one gives two shit fucks. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there, no one mentions ever.
Because they don't have to.
Well, not even actively never mention the other parents ever.
The theme song, well.
Their previous lives are dead.
Yeah.
Like, they are just a family, period. No one ever mentions they're not, you know, birth siblings.
The
never gets brought up.
The extra special episode where the girl's father returns kind of drunk to take them out to Dairy Queen. An awkward Sunday outing. Don't remember that episode?
No. I'm assuming both of the parents are dead.
I think that's kind of the underlying idea of it.
Yeah, they probably some sort of murder-suicide thing.
He's a widower. She's a widow.
Oh, wait, how's it go? Here's a story of Man and Brady. There are four men living all together, but they're all alone. Oh, don't really say anything about that.
No, Death. They never explain exactly the whole idea behind it. But
right.
Alone, it kind
of... I think they hint at in the... I think they take the mom's picture in the pilot and like just put it in a drawer. Where she is forevermore. Never look on her face again, child.
Okay.
They mention it one time because I think they're doing
her name is Lenore.
Ugh.
That's the strange part of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
They put that little raven in there.
They
actually, it's funny because
that's Alice's role.
In the Brady,
Alice is the raven.
No. Because the raven actually is. I can actually pull a real raven out of this. In the Brady Kids cartoon, they do have a raven that they hang around with.
There you go.
Asked and answered. was not asked, but was answered.
Propositioned and. I don't know.
They did one of those episodes where even as a kid you went like, what's this nonsense? Where it was like, here's another family that moves next door and they're a blended family.
Oh, okay.
But they're of many different races. They're basically the X-Men.
They're the UN.
Yeah.
The UN moves next door.
Absolutely. And so it's one of those and they're spinning, clearly a spinoff is what it was. But in there they did mention just like, well, we had a blended family and it worked out great for us. The secret is never mention the other parents ever. Don't acknowledge all your years. With especially for like the Greg and Marshas who grew up to teenhood, almost with this other parents, and then both, died recently.
We don't know when the parents met their horrible demise, their horrible Roald Dahl style demise.
Okay, well they have to have met their demise before their children were born,
eaten by a crocodile,
or children were born.
Yeah.
So not less than 6 years, let's say.
Okay.
And let's say no. Okay, here's the thing: the littlest kids I do remember from the pilot did remember mom and dad. So at least so we're looking at about 3 years, maybe?
Both of them died giving birth to the youngest child.
How does the kid remember that then?
They don't remember.
They did. I just told you that seconds ago.
Bobby remembers?
Your Cindy's and your Bray and your Bobby's, yeah.
They remember their mom and dad?
They remember their mom and dad. That's right. I think in the pilot, they're like, aw, and it's just like, it's going to be fine. Now shut up. Shut up about it.
So weird.
Shut up and sing, you perfect little singers.
I like that you've watched it since it was on.
What do you mean? How could you watch it before it was on?
Well, no, like since it was on.
Your logic is flawed.
Since it was originally on, you have watched the show.
In rerun form?
Yeah.
No, I'm the first person to watch the Brady's in reruns.
I think you are.
No.
I don't think there's anyone else who's seen them since originally ran.
No, that's right. That's not how they became popular at all. Same with Gilligan's Island. It was a huge hit.
Well, Brady Bunch was a big hit.
Well, Gilligan's Island was not.
Yes, it was.
It didn't. I just read an article about it last night. No, it didn't. Gilligan's Island did poorly, but it was a pop culture sensation. It became a reference point for comedians, and everyone knew what it was, but the actual ratings on it were poor. They were not very good.
I have to check my book. I have a book about Gilligan's Island that was given to me, and I read it. It was given to me for some reason while I was in the hospital where I had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the only book I read while I was sick.
Well, you were a huge Harlem Globetrotters fan.
I was a gigantic robot fan. I prefer robot basketball players, as you know. That's my thing, my little kind of hobby that I have.
Yeah.
I have a huge, extensive collection of robot basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, someone would give me a book.
What is the robot basketball team that you've put together? The little, what do you call those guys?
The General Electrics.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
They always get beaten by the Harlem Globetrotters. Right. No, Washington.
The Washington General Electrics.
There we go. Yeah. Yay. We all win. Everybody wins. No, it was an article about terrible spin-offs from sitcoms. And they were talking about Gilligan's Planet. And so they brought up, you know, people think this was a hit, but it never was a huge ratings smash.
I think Sherwood Swart says that it was a ratings hit. But then what happened was the wife of the executive, she loved Gunsmoke. And so Gunsmoke was being murdered in its time slot because it was kind of near the on its last legs as a television show.
But Gunsmoke, to be fair, how long it had run for?
It had run for a long time. I'm just saying it was
like,
on its last legs.
It had run like 15 years, right?
And so it was moved into Gilligan's Island's time slot, and they were put into this murder, like, next to the Ed Sullivan Show kind of situation. Mm. And that destroyed. So originally they had good ratings.
Right.
But then they got kind of shuffled around in the schedule, and the show got
But
scuppered.
It remained a pop culture benchmark. People, you just mentioned Gilligan's Island never gets what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then it went into reruns, and like where I used to watch the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island was
Channel 12.
Well, you know what? Other provinces have other channels, Dave. And I grew up back east.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Johnny West. By the way, Johnny West was a great doll back then.
How about Johnny East? West?
There was no Johnny East doll.
There you go.
He just wanted to separate.
That's because the West is the best.
The East is the least. Damn it! I was trying to come up with a zinger, and I zinged myself. But no, in Montreal, it was like 4 and then 4:30, you had your Brady Bunch, and then immediately afterwards, you had your Gilligan's Island with your sexy ladies on an island teaching you Shakespeare to the music of Carmen.
Interesting, yeah. Because I watched Gilligan's Island when it was on originally. So
how old are you?
48.
57?
No, it was on like quite.
When was Gilligan's Island originally on? When was
it originally? Early to mid 60s. It was started black and white, right? So it was early to mid 60s.
Well, you couldn't have
been watching. No, I said Brady Bunch.
You know you're Gilligan's Island.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Brady Bunch. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody. Sorry for that.
Okay, I do. Brady Bunch. Yes, that logical. Yeah, I was going like
because
you're you've been lying about your age otherwise if this Gilligan's Island story was going.
I watched. Brady Bunch, and then it was followed by Father Knows. Wait till your father gets home.
Okay, I was
going to. Not Father Knows Best. I was mixed up.
No,
but Wait Till Your Father Gets Home came after that.
On Father Knows Best, did Father know best?
I think the idea of the show was that he didn't.
Ah, so it's ironic.
Yeah.
Was that the first ironically named show? I Love Lucy named ironically because he
always
seemed to be yelling at
have
her.
Have you watched it?
He seemed to really dislike his wife.
I think he did like her.
She was just pissed off at her constantly.
Yeah.
Even though, and all she wanted. The nice lady.
Was to work in a chocolate factory.
No, she did not. No. She did not. No. I wonder if she ever got that out of her. Anyway. All she wanted was to be part of the show.
She just wanted to work in a bank.
No, she didn't want it. That's a totally different sitcom that came later.
Oh, sorry.
I think it was the Lucy show you're talking about.
Okay.
With Mr. Mooney. That's what you're thinking about. Now, let me go back to I Love Lucy. Simple premise.
Why?
Here's the premise.
Okay.
The husband's a Cuban band leader back when Cuba was okay.
Yes.
Though we all made fun of his accent because hilarious. Anyway, so and he's a performer and he's good and he's doing his
maracas like nobody's business.
Right. She wants to be in the show.
Yeah.
He doesn't want her to be in the show. She wants to be in the show. He does not want her to be in the show. She sneaks into the show and does
every
the show
every week.
Pretty every third damn week. Okay. And then she's in the show all and right. Every time she's in the show, she's great. And then the next week, I want to be in the show. You can't be in the show. Put her in the fucking show. What's your problem? Do you not want more money? Like, your wife will be fulfilled. You're already there. You're not going to be spending time apart. Ugh, that guy was a real piece of work.
Can I ask you an important question?
How this relates to Star Trek? Well, Desilu Studios was who produced Star Trek. So thank you for asking. Without I Love Lucy, you would not have your Captain Kirks.
Huh. Well, now I know why I feel the same way about both those shows, because I've never liked I Love Lucy.
And you've never liked Star Trek.
I never liked Star Trek. I don't find anything funny about I Love Lucy. I did see one funny one of all the shows that I've watched. It was not a ton, I have to admit, but of the shows that I've watched, there was one that I thought was funny, or a sequence that I thought was funny. It was her at the Brown Derby, and William Holden is sitting in the booth behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like sitting, you know, standing up on her knees, looking over him like a vulture on a rock, you know, like watching him. And he's feeling this sort of, but he doesn't know who's looking at him. And it's a sort of really kind of it's quite funny.
Cool.
It's silent. Maybe that's why I like it. Cause she's not yelling.
I like her in that. I think she also did she do the Harpo thing in I Love Lucy, or was that later one?
I think she did actually. I think you're right. They did the mirror sequence.
Quite good. And also I think the Vegemita Vitamix or whatever, she did an ad for this vitamin stuff, not knowing it was alcoholic. Kept taking tastes of it and got drunker and drunker as the ad was going along. Good premise. Well executed. Nice job.
Huh. Would she have been good?
As Gordon Ramsay would say, good premise. Well executed. Nice job.
Would she have... You're creeping me out. Would she have been good like on a Carol Burnett style show?
Well, she would have been the... You mean as the Carol Burnett style lead?
Yeah, as
the
Carol Burnett person.
You know what? I mean, she's a variety... She did the Carol Burnett show enough times.
Okay.
I would say yes. You're correct. Yes, I think she would do fine.
I think I would have preferred her in that than in the sitcom thing. But, you know, it did well for her, so I'm, I can't...
And then she went on to I Love Lucy, and here's Lucy, and hey, is that Lucy? And then I think Lucy's Wandered Off was the last one.
That's right.
There was a sad one that was the last one. It was just like, no, she can't do the physical comedy anymore. Don't make her do that.
No Lucy.
Bless her heart.
No Lucy.
Yeah, but she was a force for comedy, and she made things, and that defined what sitcoms were, so you got to give her the tip of the hat to that.
She did the animated cartoon special, Lucy Goosey. She did the voice for that.
I'm trying to think if she did an animated thing at any point, but I cannot remember.
The voice sounded like, I'm Lucy.
Yeah, it did get like a little bit like that over time.
Because it's funny, like you see her, like she's in Stage Door, the movie Stage Door, with has Katharine Hepburn and other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an all-star cast of actresses, and they're sort of like aspiring Broadway actresses living in a ladies' house.
Ladies. Is it as sexy as you're making it sound? Because it sounds pretty sexy.
The 15-minute lesbian scene is pretty good. For 1939, I'd say it's a pretty tasty scene.
Okay.
I got to say. Especially for the Hayes office. I was surprised it made it past. but no, she's really beautiful.
Oh, she
is,
yeah.
Really beautiful in that
Absolutely.
Film.
Absolutely.
Like, really good.
She's good in that. It was either Anti-Mame or Mame. There was two Mame,
it was Mame
movies.
It was Mame.
She did the Mame. And Anti-Mame was what, Rosalind Russell?
I think Rosalind Russell. Okay. Anti-Mame, yeah. Because Mame is a musical. And Anti-Mame is just kind of a movie, right? Or am I getting mixed up now?
We are getting them mixed up for sure.
I think we're somehow confused. Maybe she was the main... Yeah, she was in the non-musical one. But I think she was too old for the role. Or something was wrong about that.
Well, Mame is kind of old. The idea is that she's not letting age
stop her.
She's
too old for that role.
How would she have been too old back then?
No.
All right.
Nope.
All right. Dave's a bit ageist.
She's also good in a movie about called The Fuller Brush Woman, I believe it's called.
How about The Long, Long Trailer?
No.
Is that terrible?
No one should see that film.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. You don't need to.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole thing that happened in the 50s where America lost its sense of humor. And there's a lot of movies that came out of that.
Was that because of McCarthyism? Was everyone did they get rid of all the good writers because they thought they were communist?
That's
and then
right.
Things got unfunny for a while? Because I'm going to assume that's what happened.
That could be, but I don't think those guys were also socially conscious and stuff like that. Were they really, they're writing comedy? Or were those guys
What's wrong with funny, you know, maybe laugh away your problems?
Well, that's fine, but I have a feeling that if you're going to get too much of a message to your film. It's going to be a bit of a...
Well, these weren't people that necessarily were on message. These were just people who got outed, and some of them it was fake, and no, you know, you have sympathies, and off you go, and, yeah, you know.
A lot of them wear their hearts on their sleeve, their pinko hearts on their sleeves. I mean, I don't think it was... Obviously, I don't think it was right what happened to them.
No.
But if you look at what they were writing, they were of that sort of message. The message is...
Like what? What would be a film that was a message?
What I'm thinking of would be Dalton Trumbo, who... He was one who was blacklisted. And I don't know what he was working on before he was blacklisted, but he did that film, Johnny Got His Gun. Have you ever seen that film?
Okay,
it's just basically a guy laying in his bed the whole... Yeah, that's a Dalton Trumbo. So that's an example of a film I would think they would be doing in the 50s that they weren't allowed to do.
There's not that many of those films. There's not a lot of guys lying on their bed.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's an example of a film that he's like, yeah, I got to make these sort of... this. The people got to see this.
But when you see... And I can't name a whole bunch right now. When you see the people who got swept away and all this, it's not necessarily people that you'd go were making, you know, political movies. It was just people that...
Yeah, it was just anybody. Yeah, anybody who happened to...
It was fear-mongering
have
bullshit.
...have the misfortune. Well, I mean, it was obviously fear-mongering bullshit, but they had the misfortune of being involved in some sort of, you know, slightly pinkish activities in the 30s or something, which wasn't unusual then because it was the middle of the Depression, so people were casting around for solutions for this ginormous problem, and people thought, you know, unfortunately, people thought that communism was a possible out for that, and hooray for Stalin. He's getting the job done. Look how he's building all those hydroelectric dams in Siberia. It's amazing how they're popping up. How do they do it there?
What
how
happened with that guy? Did things work out for him or no?
Well, it worked out very well for him. He died in his bed.
Oh, as, like
as
Johnny.
Leader of the, as leader
so
of the country.
So did Johnny Gets His Gun guy, and that didn't work out.
Joseph got his gun as well.
Oh, so. Poor Joseph. Will he ever win? Hopefully not.
Well,
he did
win. He won in the sense that he never was taken out of power. He just died in his sleep.
Except by nature.
Well,
nature took him out of power.
Nature has its ways. Boy, we sure wound along. I just think in the 50s, maybe you're right. Maybe this talent.
It started with Sleestaks, Dave.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Sleestaks always lead to communism because Sleestaks represented communism.
If only we got to farms and we could have gone from Sleestaks to haystacks, and that would have been really fun.
Could have. Still might. We got
didn't
a whole,
work out first.
We got a whole year ahead of us.
You could be right. It could be a talent suck that just kind of took the energy out of Hollywood. Because then you would feel like, you know, it's not just that the talent's gone, but also your sense of freedom to create is gone too. So everyone's looking over their shoulder, worried about what they're saying. Not really the best way to create. But I mean, at the same time, people were creating interesting films. I mean, there was Douglas Sirk, who was doing like All That Heaven Allows and stuff that, you know, that's a really interesting criticism of, you know, kind of middle class, you know, bourgeois American culture, you know. So it's hard to say. I mean, I guess if you could do it in a way that was hidden, the messages were hidden within the movie, you know. It's interesting because there's different
I don't know
streams.
Enough about it to state an opinion. Not that it's ever stopped me on this show before, but I'm sort of letting you talk right now because I'm like, I'm in my learning seat right now. By the way, the other side thing you guys got to know is it's about 3 degrees Celsius right now in this room, and we're freezing to death. Slowly.
We decided because it's wintertime, we decided to have the show in an igloo.
Yep.
And we discovered that igloos are actually cold, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
It didn't occur to me that sitting in a house made of ice would be cold.
And why did we get Slurpees?
That was another mistake.
It's tradition, but I think it was a bad idea. So
and
we are...
The popsicles didn't help either.
We are Jack Nicholson in the final scene of The Shining,
yes,
slowly freezing to death. So just take that into account when you're listening to us ramble. If all of a sudden we start not making sense... Or all of a sudden I start bringing up old Brady Bunch cartoons and talking about crows. Just know we are slowly freezing to death.
If I suddenly leave the tent and don't return, just for the good of the team, we'll know it. We know what happened.
Yep. I'm out for a pack of cigarettes, boys.
I'm going out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get more supplies.
Then you come back with all these wonderful supplies. I'm like, hey, he was right.
I'm just trying to think of like great comedies from the 50s.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, again, I can't pull those out of my head.
Like, I could think of like 40s. You know, you can think of like Preston Sturges films or 30s Marx Brothers movies and, you know, the great silent films. You know, there's all, you know, the screwball comedies and stuff like that came in. And then you come up to the 50s and you're kind of stuck. You're like, well, there's Frank Tashlin movies, you know, like The Girl Can't Help It and Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter and stuff like that. But if you watch those movies, those Doris Day Rock Hudson's film, which were like considered the cream of the crop at the time as like these great romantic comedies, they seem, I don't know, they're just kind of these weird lifeless
messes. Well, I'm
going
to throw this out to our listeners then.
Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin comedies? Blah.
What was that about? 1950s comedies.
Yeah.
What's good comedies that we're missing right now?
Yeah,
and do you think that comedy took a dip in the 50s. Do you believe that was the case? Here's what might have happened, Dave.
Yeah.
Might have been a little thing that came along called television. And perhaps TV took the comedy, became the place to do comedy, and so films became more serious. But what do you guys think? Let us know. Anyway, back to you, David.
Yeah, I'm frantically trying to think.
You had your Milton Berle's and your whatnots and your shows of shows.
Okay,
and it was like, that's where your hilarious comedies are. That's where your top comedy writers go, and that's where they do their thing.
So it's weird, because I think when you think of Ealing comedies, I mean, those were the 50s, right? The classic kind of like.
What did Ealing do?
Passport to Pimlico.
Don't know.
Laughter in Paradise.
Again, don't know it.
The Lady Killers.
I do know that one.
Kind Hearts and Coronets.
Don't know that one.
A lot of fun, the Whiskey Galore.
Don't know it.
These are all good films that I'm listing.
Yeah, and I am being completely honest with you. I could play along and go, but I'm not going to do that.
Is interesting.
Dave, I'm not going to bullshit you in the new year.
Okay.
I'm coming at you honest. I'm talking straight.
You've made a resolution.
I've seen the Lady Killers. I like the Lady Killers. I don't know the rest of these things. You could just be making them up.
Passport to Pimlico is interesting because the idea of
it is... like a made-up name.
Pimlico, which is a neighborhood of London,
is
discovered to be part of some duchy that falls outside of British control. So they're able to be to not have to follow the ration schemes. And so people can just go there and get whatever they want. You know, there's no need for ration books, no need. So it's kind of an interesting film. This sort of fantasy about escaping the horrible post-war strictures that lasted for, what, like a good 12 years in England. That's an interesting film. Whiskey Galore is about a Scottish island that is producing illegal whiskey. And someone goes there. I mean, there's a lot of good films from that time.
Yeah.
I Know Where I'm Going. The Powell Pressburger films, like Colonel Blimp, and like, why was England doing interesting?
I have no idea what that is. Sorry about
seen?
That. Nope.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe that's from the 40s. I don't know exactly like all the times of these films. Like, I Know Where I'm Going. I guess that movie was from the 30s, I guess. Do you know that one?
Nope.
It's an interesting. I'll just see that.
I feel terrible.
I'll just
I've made my living at comedy. I'm a comedy writer. And you're just like mentioning all these things, like, you know, Captain Phil in the Pants. You know what I'm talking about, right? The redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Everyone enjoyed that. Sailboats for Cutie. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I love that
nothing.
Movie.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Love
sorry.
Three
beagles and a dame. Why, you guys know that one, right? They all go hunting in this.
That sounds like a 50s one. That doesn't sound
okay.
Like it. I
don't think you'd use the word dame in the 50s.
I Know Where I'm Going is about a woman who's going to get married. It's kind of an arranged marriage or just an agreed-to marriage.
Gotcha.
And she meets a man on her way there who kind of turns her head. It's a very good film, though. Very good film.
Yeah. Like when you're saying the thing about the place that makes whiskey, I'm trying to think, like, could you make a movie like that today? I guess you could make an indie film.
Sure.
Like that today, but yeah.
Sure. You would make it more. You'd make it more topical. You'd make it pot. And you'd have it set in Washington State and have a federal agent going there.
If you had a mainstream comedy today, it's got to be about... having sex, probably. Let's say you gotta it's a couple and they used to have sex, now they don't. Are they gonna, they're having sex. What are they doing? They're having sex in the camera, and now everyone's gonna see them have sex. And
okay.
This couple is their friends, but what are they gonna do? They gotta make a porno because they gotta make money, and so they gotta have sex, and so that's what they gotta do. And it's just like,
but I feel like all those films you're naming are not very good movies.
Oh, they don't have to be good.
Oh, okay.
Why do you have to be good? Friends with benefits. It's a couple, and they're gonna have some sex.
Doesn't sound good.
Actually, that one's probably the best of the bunch. But yeah,
Doesn't sound too good. I watched a bit of Knocked Up, but I couldn't finish it because it wasn't any good.
Yeah, nah, that was all right. That one was okay.
Just didn't
good character stuff. I thought it was people reacting fairly realistically to certain things. But then it had the Judd Apatow, you know. Judd Apatow's got the thing, and again, like, we haven't ridden this Judd Apatow train hard enough.
Let's keep
but
riding.
But Judd Apatow's got the thing of, like, he's a moralist, real strong, here's the moral.
Okay.
Very Old Testament type guy. but yeah, then a lot of, like, sex jokes to get there.
Yeah.
But it's all about, hey, you better get married and have a kid and just settle down. Settle down, buddy. Calm it down.
and you can
have your swears.
Yeah.
But that's it. And don't look at porn once you've married. What's wrong with you? That's young man stuff. Basically, it feels like he's... All right, now this sounds bad, Dave. But again, this is what I think is true.
Okay.
I think he runs his scripts by his wife.
Mm.
And often she goes, can I be in it? And then he goes, yep. And then says, how about the kids? Sure. And so when your kids are in your movie,
yeah,
they can't be a big fuck fest. Like, you've got to take it down a whole bunch of notches. You got to pull it back a bit.
But are there really that many comedies that are a big fuck fest? That sounds like the farthest from comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'd have to think about it. It seems like that's one of the only things that would get people into a movie theater nowadays. You know, or at least they'd watch it on demand later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Have you watched The Interview yet?
No, have not.
No, I haven't. Because
either. You know why? Because I've got a Sony PlayStation, Dave.
Yeah.
And Sony PlayStation, the PlayStation Network is not showing Sony's The Interview. You can watch it on Xbox.
Yeah.
You can watch it on almost anything else.
Yeah.
You just can't watch it on the Sony PlayStation.
I can see it on Google Play.
You can watch it on anything.
You can see it on iTunes.
I can go outside and ask a guy, and he'll give me a DVD. But I can't go to Sony and ask for the Sony movie.
You can go to some select cinemas here in Canada.
I'm right by
soon.
Chinatown. Dave, yeah. I can get any movie you want.
Yeah.
You know, in like 10 minutes. I can do it.
Yeah.
I just got to go in the back of that place and get that thing, and there it is, and I got it. Whatever you want. What do you want, buddy? I'll get it for you. You're going to be all right. You saw an interview?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, I was curious if you had.
It's going to be fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I'm going to say a shocking thing. I enjoyed Pineapple Express. I thought that was a good movie.
It's enjoyable. It's fine.
It's a fun film.
Nothing wrong. Seth Rogen's doing fine. He's doing. Like, I like Superbad too.
It's okay.
I liked it.
Police weren't realistic.
What's that?
The police weren't realistic in it. It just took me out of the film.
Oh, okay. Because
it was like it was a sketch that was happening during.
Yeah,
a movie.
They were the overly comedic. Yeah, that's that. It is. It's,
I didn't
it's
enjoy
like
that
in a Judd Apatow movie when Melissa McCarthy shows up and all of a sudden she's doing like 97 improv lines in a row and talking about murdering a family.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, huh, you. I'm like, wait, no. I think just call the cops at this moment now. Okay, no.
She has a body in her trunk. Right. She has a body in her trunk.
I think Seth Rogen's going to do fine once he shakes the Apatow off him.
Mm.
He's now got a bit too much Apatow, but he's making bold choices. Like with This It's the End, I thought, like, you know,
Is great. Yeah.
You went a lot of, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot
all
of
right,
fun.
I'm not seeing that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there was another movie at the same time called The World's End, I was like, oh, well, they're both doing that. Oh, but very, very different films.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think he's going to be doing some really interesting stuff. I think he's a bit of a risk taker.
Yeah.
And hope he'll be fine.
I plan to watch it. Someone told me it wasn't good, but it was a teenager. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to your opinion and then I'm going to discount it.
Oh.
That's what I did. As a supercilious adult.
Yeah.
I listened to her opinion.
Right.
And didn't pay attention to it.
And then she talked about a gas leak. You went, that's delightful. Funny. Patted her on the head. Walked into the house. Kaboom.
That's right. Smoking a cigarette.
Yep.
Kablamo.
That's how it goes.
Passed out from mono. What is it? Carbon monoxide
from
poisoning.
From mono. They got mono. The kissing disease.
All teenagers get that.
Oh.
Good God.
Terrible.
I was kissing.
I had that. That was the worst. So many, like I just was always asleep, and I wake up and Leave It to Beaver to be on. And I didn't, guys, I didn't get it in the 50s.
Was it the modern one or the old one?
Yes, both.
Oh, okay.
I'd go to sleep, and it'd be like the old one. I'd go to sleep, and it'd be the new one.
Mm.
And it would just always be Leave It to Beaver, always going through time. And I'd, you know, be too sick to eat, and I'd eat like half a sandwich in a week, and it would all be Leave It to Beaver and juice. A very weird
it's
blur.
A really, really good diet.
Mm-hmm.
The mono diet.
Yeah, I still don't know if Leave It to Beaver was a good show or not.
Leave It to Beaver is an interesting artifact. Because once again, it's an example of comedy from that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And why maybe it has trouble working.
Were they good lessons that that the kids were... I guess it was Don't Lie.
Don't Lie.
Is that it?
Well, you know, when you think of that time period as parents, you know, being belt-wielding... meanies, you know, that kids were getting spanked and grounded and this and that. The parents on Leave It to Beaver were remarkably fair.
And yet the kids were always scared of the parents' disapproval to the point where you're like, what are we not seeing off off camera? Like, I'm really scared of Dad.
Well, we don't like getting in trouble.
No.
I mean, no one likes getting in trouble. Even if it's just a talking to, we don't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we're not afraid of our parents in the sense that you mean, like, that, you know, that my dad's going to murder me, but my dad's going to disapprove of who I am. So that's not so
pleasant.
They seemed
more scared than that. Look back on it. See how scared
Beaver
looked. Wide eyes of terror. Little peeing off the pants.
Parents are scary because they're your parents. They wield... I mean, I remember getting in a fight with my mom when I was a teenager. I was, you know, a foot taller than her.
Yeah.
And I said something to her that was not very nice, and she slapped me. And I was like, oh, my mom slapped me.
Mm.
You know, that's the end of it. I can't do anything more than that, you know? It's your mom.
Yeah.
That's the end of the argument.
I disagree with the slapping bit.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said what I said. So.
No, it wasn't you. She was in the wrong for slapping you.
We were both in the wrong.
Nope, she was in the wrong. Nope.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Incorrect. Two wrongs on the scale. Which one was? One was a verbal thing and the other one was physical violence. Which is the worst? The physical violence. Okay. Yes.
Whatever you say.
Yeah, nope, that's not, that is just true.
Sure.
Do not smack your child, especially in the face. No, boo. No, disagree. Let's go get her.
It was a slap.
Let's bring her on the show and talk to her about it. We brought her up enough times that I think she has time. I think she has time. It's time for her to give a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's so. I don't think that would be any good.
You don't think the rebuttal would be good?
No. I mean, I've had it.
What do you think she would say?
I've had it out with my mom.
Okay.
But it's really hard because
in public or in private?
In private, like on a, you know.
Okay. It wasn't at a family dinner and just you, clear the turkey off the table.
In a phone conversation, I had it with my mom because, you know, she, there's a lot of things. So, you know, I just said to her, you know, how I thought of what she was doing and she wasn't very happy, because everyone has a certain level of denial, you know.
And they've they got a funnel, and only a certain amount will get through.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is just going to spill out over the sides. Yeah.
And so if you say that, you go, oh, well, you just remember everything badly about your childhood. And I'm like, well, no, I don't, because I'm actually a person with this kind of ascending disposition. I actually remember mostly the good things.
Yeah.
I'm not a person that thinks about bad stuff. I don't even remember bad things happening. But, you know, the fact that I do remember these things means that they were a constant. And then they're continuing bad. It's not that they're from the past, they're happening right now, Mom.
Well, you know that I've, you know, had the weird year of like kind of being estranged from my mom except for one phone call.
Yeah.
And like not even getting a Merry Christmas this Christmas. But like
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty lousy.
No, it's terrible.
Well, I am agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing.
No, you're not agreeing with me enough. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is pretty terrible. But I've had the thing of like, you know how, you know, you've got the thing in the childhood and you're like, yeah, remember that time you did this when I was 10? And the parents go, no, I don't remember that. We're getting the flip ski now. Like it was concentrated in that, you know, she's built up this story of like how I treated her husband like a year ago that didn't happen at all. Just like, well, you didn't like him and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And it was like, no, I took you guys out for dinner and we all had a good time and there was hugs afterwards. And remember that? And you went and you said how nice this all was and it was all great. And now that's flipped to what it has to be. Like basically, I think, you know, a lot of times people have ways they've got to sort things in their own head and put things on a certain shelf and they don't fit on this shelf, but they fit on this shelf. And so it has to be that. So they have to remember it in a certain way. Otherwise, why would you be acting the way you are? Your actions would be wrong otherwise. So I must have been a dick in the past. So, you know, me and my sisters did not ever care for him and gave him the cold shoulder and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not true. But it's weird having it happen fast.
Absolutely not true or kind of true? Because it was kind of thrown on you guys out of the blue.
Yeah.
That your mom got married.
Right.
I mean, basically you were informed by an email, weren't you?
Yes.
So we were not even in person. Your mom didn't even come to you.
No, I've met the guy four times. And it was like twice for like holiday dinners. Once I think just casually, like he just dropped by real fast.
Yeah.
And then once I took him out to dinner with my mom.
Yeah.
But in all of those circumstances, you know, we definitely did the outreach hand of, hey, how's it going? And what's going on? And friendly. And, you know, especially near the beginning where she was talking about how much she loved this guy, we're all really open to the guy. And then, you know, we're seeing red flags of flapping, but we're still to him very open and open. And then it wasn't till he cut off my my niece and nephew and they weren't seeing, you know, the grandkids anymore because they wouldn't call him grandpa, that I went like, well, this isn't right. And I contacted them via the email about, you know, look, you're going to regret the time you're not going to spend. And then all of a sudden it just became cuckoo bananas. Later I found out he was writing letters under her name to me. So it wasn't, you know, so I was getting weird mixed signals. I'm like, well, why is my mom sounding like this? This is not how she sounds. And then, it all became a mic-mac-a-waka-laka. You know, it's just,
That's the technical term.
Yeah. It's a brainwashing hugabangu. I think like she's got a certain life that she likes a certain part, or at least feels she needs a certain part. And so she's trying to justify the rest, you know, but knows, you know, when we actually do talk in the brief time we have talked, she knows it's not working and she knows this isn't right. And but, you know, she's not going to make the steps to change it. So, you know, she just wants us to apologize to him, but that'll do nothing. And then the next small thing, you know, a glass will fall off a shelf and then it'll be, and the apocalypse will happen again. So,
yeah.
yabba yabba. So I don't know. I don't really know where this is all going to land. But when you're mentioning this about your mom and like telling her stuff from your past, yeah, they're not able to. They're not able to. You're just saying something. They don't. It's like a dog that doesn't see that color, and you're trying to describe the red that was going on. It's like, but the red, huh? It's like the red boy. I don't care. Green? No, not green. Red. And they just don't get it because it doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah. Oh no, it's strange. Like my mom does not like teachers, and they don't know why. She does not like teachers at
all. Have you ever just asked her?
Oh, yeah. I've told her that she doesn't like teachers.
Uh-huh.
And she denies it.
And your wife is a teacher.
And I'll say, you don't like teachers. Like, you just don't like them. And she goes, no, that's not true. I've liked teachers. You know, I've liked teachers that you guys have had.
Right.
I said, I'm not talking about particular people. We can all like people. I'm talking about as a general group of individuals, you do not like teachers. Because, no, that's not true. I said, no, it's true. You do not like teachers.
What are the examples of, like, why has she just...
Just the way she talks about them. You know.
Okay.
Like, yeah. That they're not, you know, they get paid so much, and they don't do anything, and they get all this time off, you know, all kind of cliches of people's complaints about teachers.
Yeah.
You know, if it's so great, how come you didn't raise us, Mom? Like, you couldn't wait to get us out of the house. You know, as soon as light was outside, we were thrown out the door to play until it was dinner time or lunchtime or whatever. Whenever feeding time was, we got to come back in the house, eat, and then we were thrown back outside again. You know, like, my mom was just not into having us around, you know, and it's three boys. I can understand. It's a rambunctious mess.
I wonder how many people of her era, though, like, if you're a woman of her era, and I'm not excusing anything, and I'm not judging. I'm judging you. No.
I can take it.
Their options were you have kids or, you know, and you should have kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, but what if you're not a person who wants to have kids? What if you're not a kid person? What if you're not that type of person?
Yeah.
You still got to do it because, you know, you want to get married, right? What are you going to do?
No.
Need security.
I mean, I'm not going to complain because I'm here. So, you know,
no,
I'd rather
glad
be here than not.
But, yeah, exactly. But like, there must have been a lot of people who just plain, I'm not much for kids.
I can understand my mom resenting me because I'm sure she did. You know, I came... First thing, I was a pain in the ass, literally, coming out of her. I was a great deal.
You came out of her bum?
I caused some problems.
Okay.
I'm just saying that. I didn't come out of her ass, but I caused some problems.
Okay.
All right. And then she was by herself in Portland. She didn't have any family around her. You know, so she's a mom, not going to say a single one, but she's a mom raising a baby by herself, you know, with no one to ask advice of.
So where was your dad at the time?
He was there too, but what did he know about raising kids?
I was there.
I know, but neither of them.
Okay, but when you
say
that she was like raising as a single mom.
Like when our daughter, I almost said her name, when our daughter Millis was born, we basically lived like a month at my in-law's house. And my mother-in-law helped us, showed us, you know, gave us tips, took over for us when I was overwhelming.
Right.
You know, it was really helpful. But my mom didn't have that. She was by herself. And then she wasn't producing enough milk. And so she was breastfeeding me, but I wasn't getting enough food. So I probably was crying a lot too.
Right.
So she had this squalling brat who...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No.
I'm just saying how you're viewing it in that moment,
okay,
right?
Okay. Let's just take a break on... You're calling yourself a squalling brat.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as someone who's a dad, if one of your children wasn't getting enough milk, you're like, what an asshole this is.
You can feel that way about your kids.
You can, but you're not right.
No, you're not right. I'm not excusing. I'm just really
calling yourself a brat.
Yeah.
You're a baby. You're not a brat. A brat is someone who has some sense of, you know, right and wrong and decides to do the impish thing.
If
you're a baby, let's cut baby Dave Dedrick some fucking slack.
Let's cut baby
and not
Dave
call
Dedrick
him
slack.
A jerk
but
because he wanted milk to live.
Let's also
check this baby out.
Let's also cut parent slack because it is frustrating as a parent.
I get that.
To have a crying baby and because
the
baby can't tell you.
It
can't write you a note.
I know.
Why am I crying?
But the baby gets more slack when it wants some milk and you don't have to
you can't
think of yourself in present day and like think of yourself in the past going like, I guess I was asking for it, wanting all that milk.
I'm not saying I was asking
for it. As a baby.
I'm just saying I understand.
You were literally asking for it with your crying.
I
your only way of communicating.
I sympathize or I empathize with what she was going through.
Okay, are you empathizing with yourself as well as that little baby who wasn't getting enough milk?
Well, I don't remember that. So
No. Let's just think there's a little baby and it's not getting enough milk.
Yeah.
Are you empathizing with that baby or are you thinking that poor mom?
I'm thinking that poor mom.
And the baby?
Screw him.
Okay. Well, let's put on our logic hats then for a while. I'm looking at it from her point of view. That's nice.
I'm not looking at it from my...
But guess how many points of view there are? At least two. Yeah, probably that's, more. You've got your dad in there. Also others. But yeah, let's not remember... Don't remember yourself as a jerk that screwed things up for your mom because you wanted milk. Okay?
You were innocent then. But what I'm doing is I'm just looking at it from a biased point of view. I'm not trying to look at it from overview like
no,
you are.
I think you feel guilty about wanting milk as a baby.
No, it's not that. I'm just explaining to you. I'm just saying I understand. Okay. I understand.
Right.
I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I don't condone.
Okay.
But I sympathize with.
Yeah.
Why I think she felt the way she felt.
Understood. Please empathize with yourself as a baby as well.
Yeah.
Wanted
okay.
Milk.
I can do that later.
Okay.
So. When she was going through this, I can understand that she probably resented this little thing that came into her life that changed her life so radically.
Right.
And in lots of negative ways.
Also, there was also, you know, people are kind of in denial about postpartum depression. Back then, no one knew about it. And there's always like a little bit of that, regardless of, you know.
Well, postpartum depression, but also just the whole experience of what the fuck have I got into?
Yeah.
Like, what did I just do to my life?
Right.
I was doing this. I was happy. I was working in an office. I was making some money,
right?
And now I'm stuck at home with a baby that won't stop crying, mm-hmm. and all this responsibility. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, mm-hmm. and what have I done? You know, that's a legitimate experience as well,
right? And you can't complain about it because everyone's in that boat.
It's like when I bought my first standard car, and I was driving down the street, and it occurred to me. I suddenly thought, what have I done? I just bought a car. I have to do all this work all the time,
and the car wants gas and I can all never, the time.
Not that,
stupid
not
car.
That. Just
what a brat.
When you drive it automatic, you know, you just put it in drive and you just drive.
Oh, okay.
But when you're driving a standard, you have to put it in first, then you have to in second, third. You know, which once you've done it for a while, it becomes second nature. You don't think about it. But when you first do it, you're like, what have I just done? I've just added all this level of work to what I'm doing. Like before, I could just put it in drive and drive and never think about it. Now it's like the stupid thing that I'm always having to do. I didn't realize that it became second nature after a while. But I'm just saying, when you make these kind of changes, you can't go back. Like my mom couldn't take me back to the hospital and say, could the cert come and take him back?
Yep.
Back to the nest or wherever the cert keeps the babies. She couldn't do that. She's stuck with me, you know? But I think it explains why I was kind of overlooked in favor of my brother, mm-hmm. the second who came. Partly because the second is the easier baby, you know? Because the second has the first as sort of this guide.
Right.
It's like, well, he goes to bed, I'll go to bed. You know, so he does that, I'll do that.
We got the leftover clothes, we don't have to buy any new stuff for the most part.
Yeah. So it's easier.
How much older are you than your brother?
Well, basically,
2 years?
No, what? Not even that. Not even a year.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So all your clothes are immediately, and we'll take that off you and put it immediately on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's
My parents got busy pretty quickly after I came.
Okay.
They're like, let's make up for this mistake. Let's make up for this terrible mistake that we brought into the world. We can do it right the second time.
Okay. Do you don't, okay.
Third time's a charm, right?
It's a big question, but you don't think you ruined your mom's life, right?
No, I don't think that.
Good. All right, moving on.
I don't
on.
Think that.
Good.
I'm sure that, I think that my mom actually liked having kids and liked being a mom. I just think that as a mom, she has trouble. She comes out of a family tradition that has trouble expressing emotion.
Yeah, not everyone's good at this job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
that's fair.
I think, you know, in lots of ways, I purposefully did not do what my mom did.
It's interesting then, like, having a relationship with your... I mean, and I was having one with my mom before this happened.
Yeah.
But having a relationship with your parent as an adult is a very different situation than it is being raised.
Totally different. And in fact, my mom and I got in a fight one time, and she said, I thought we were friends. And I said, no, we're not friends. You're my mom. That's something different. Like, you can't... They can't be the same thing.
Yeah. Because you can be friendly.
We can be friendly. We can be amicable, but we can't be
We can't
friends.
Be friends, and we can't date. Those are the
That's
two things
we cannot
do.
Because it's different. It's a different relationship. Like, you know, a friend isn't going to... If I do something that would make my mom mad, a friend isn't going to call me on it the way my mom would.
Right.
Or I would hope my mom would, you know? Like, that's a different thing. Like, that can't be the same.
Yeah, it's deeper. You don't... Yeah. Yeah, it's a deeper thing with a parent.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, a friend, if you have a fight with a friend or you disagree with what your friend is doing, that's the end of your friendship. You know, it can cool off and your friend becomes more of a distant friend or someone that you see every mm-hmm. once in a while, an acquaintance. And that's fine. But you can't do that with your mom or dad or brothers. Well, I can with your brothers.
You can a little bit with your brothers,
Quite a lot, actually.
And your sisters. Yeah, you can. That's fair.
You don't have to see them every day.
Nope.
There's no law. Thank God. But it was an interesting argument because I just realized, you know, about one third into the argument, so very near the end, beginning, that I couldn't win and I couldn't carry a point. You know, even if my point was valid, there was no way that could cut through all the emotional baggage and history of our relationship that would carry the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So eventually it was just, after that, it was all retrenching. You know, it was all like kind of, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was love, you know, and it just became this, this backtracking that was kind of mealy-mouthed, really embarrassing. But it just, because I just realized there's no way. I mean, I had said this thing, and as soon as I said, I just realized, oh my God, this is not the time nor the place ever to say this, because you just cannot, there's just...
Yeah, it's a tough one, but then the other side of that is you can't then keep your peace forever about everything too.
No,
because then you just, you know, it all, this is this black thing that grows.
You can
inside.
Try.
You can try.
You can try and do it.
That's fantastic.
I'm trying.
That's
I'm
right.
making a real concerted effort to do that now. I'm going to carry a lot inside me.
Yeah, that's
a
healthy.
A lot of hurt and pain.
That's right.
I'm going to carry it around.
Sure.
Like a big ball and chain
like,
behind me.
What's this black tar coming out of the side of my mouth? What is that? I wasn't chewing tobacco. Oh, that's evil. That's resentment. Oh, that's good. Let's just get rid of that. Yeah. Now you got to find the right way to actually have a conversation and bring things up that isn't. Yeah, it's tough when you get the wall of denial.
That's what this podcast is for.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentle listener, for letting me unload on your shoulders.
It's the historical revisionism of the family. You know, just like no, none of that occurred, and you're just like it's kind of like, you know, at family dinners where someone would bring up a point. It's just like, you know, Ben Franklin and George Washington used to. No, they weren't around at the same time. Oh, yes, they were. And now you can go to the computer and look at, see, they lived at this time. What you're going to have in the future is you're going to have a time machine. Just like, well, we never did. Let's get in. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
And you'll go back and they'll go, well, that's bullshit. This time machine's busted. It's not. Look, you're there. You're saying I can't watch the Olympics.
The problem with
remember, because you said I couldn't watch the Olympics? I never said that. You say, yes, you did. You said it was too sexual.
But then when you go back to the present, then there's werewolf dinosaurs running around. And you just, what have we done to the timeline? I don't think we can.
It seems they'd be easy to get rid
of.
I don't
think time machines are possible.
Would you kill them with a silver bullet still? Is that how you do it? Would they only be dinosaurs?
Well,
with a
can of Coors silver bullet beer.
There you are. Now, would they be dinosaurs during the day and werewolves at night? Is that how it goes when the moon comes out?
They're dinosaurs who become werewolves.
What did I just say? I just said that.
I just said they're
dinosaurs during the day. They become werewolves at night.
Yeah.
So how is that wrong?
Well, they look like hairy dinosaurs with fangs.
Right.
And ears.
So that's what I said.
Yeah. Oh no, you made it sound like they were wolves that were like wary of something. Cautious.
Oh, are you thinking
wolves.
Wary wolves?
Yes.
Who are really worried wolves?
No, wary wolves.
Werewolves
are,
and worried wolves are very
wolves.
Different.
No, they're just very. Yeah, they're very.
And they're like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get that sheep. That sheep looks like trouble. All right, you worried wolf. Get over here. No, I'm scared. He might have a silver bullet gun. You mean like that's the right. beer? So, I don't know. It seems like a weird joke.
So wolf in chicken's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the wolf in sheep's clothing, he already ate a sheep, right, to get that skin?
Yeah.
So why does he need more sheep, the greedy wolf?
Because he's greedy. He's a wolf, yes. Mm,
okay.
They're not known for their...
Well, they're not known also for sewing a sheep outfit, but good for them.
I just pictured it as kind of on his, like, kind of put on his back. Like,
wouldn't that be horrific? The idea of, like, just wearing a sheep skin, just bloody sheep skin, and you're a wolf and just walk in. Hey, fellas, how's all this sheep business going? Yeah, this, you're not at all. Oh, fuck. Let's just... okay, bye. Frankly, if you can get close enough to be in with the sheep, then you're fine. Anyway.
You know, I think it's a metaphor and not an actual thing.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You don't think that ever happened? That
I don't think
a wolf
ever
actually
happened.
Skinned
saw
a sheep?
A wolf walking by and they said, look at that, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And why would they say wolf in sheep's clothing, by the way? Mm-hmm. You know, actually, it was just a wolf walking by wearing a pair of Bermuda shorts and a shirt. They're like, wasn't a sheep wearing that earlier? Didn't you see a sheep? I saw a sheep wearing a Czech shirt
You're
with some Bermuda
right.
shorts.
I was thinking, that is a good point. It's not a wolf in sheep's... Yeah, it's like their clothes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the sheep wore a full outfit.
Full set, yeah.
That's being a real glamorous sheep. He's calling attention to himself.
He kind of deserved it, is what you're saying.
That's right.
He called attention.
And then the fashion wolf comes by and goes, I'd love that outfit.
Yeah.
Snappy necky. Now all of a sudden he's wearing the lovely suit. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, that's was the sheep's clothing.
That's
I shouldn't have been wearing that anyway.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's all you need. Speaking of animals... I'm going to make an abrupt...
Talking about the band The Animals?
The band The Animals, yeah.
Known for their hit songs?
Monterey.
And?
We Gotta Get Out of This Place.
Lovely. Well done. All right.
House of the Rising Sun, which, of course, was used the Bob Dylan version that he stole from Dave... Oh, I can't remember his name now. But a fellow folk singer in the Greenwich scene, who actually let Bob Dylan kind of stay at his house a lot when he was a poor, struggling artist, and he repaid him by stealing his version of House of the Rising Sun and recording it on his first album.
And yet we know this. So was there any reparations in the...
I doubt it.
How do we know this story?
Well, this has come down because the guy who it happened to said, this is bullshit. This is what happened, everybody.
All right.
I can't remember think of his name now. I wish I could. He wasn't as good as Bob Dylan as a folk singer and stuff.
Okay.
But still, he was like a big part of the scene for a long time.
And now we're going to go back and we're going to talk about animals.
Well, people have been clamoring.
Animals everywhere.
People have been clamoring to hear more about our pets.
Have they?
Pets.
Seems weird. Really? Are they?
Our pet peeves. No, our pets. Actual pets.
All right.
So someone would like, dearly like to hear about your cats.
Okay. All right. Okay, so was that just a setup like that? I'm talking about?
I'm looking at you now.
I thought you were going to like finish that with something.
Nope. I just cats, dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
Ellipse.
All right.
Sis.
Sure. I'll talk about my cats.
Talk about your cats.
Okay.
Because for me, it's kind of an anniversary right now, and I can talk a little bit about that, but you also...
You got a dog-iversary? A cat-iversary.
A dog-iversary, that's right.
A dog-iversary.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't... Yeah, it's not a cat...
A cane-iversary.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. No, both of our cats. We used to have three cats. One has since passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But we've always had rescue cats.
Yes.
And I actually posted.
What are your cats' names?
Well, I'm going to just tell you this first.
Oh, okay.
I actually put a picture of. I found a picture of my old cat who has passed away, Kinsey, on Facebook today.
Yeah.
She was a rescue cat that was given to a 2-year-old who should not have a cat.
No.
And
it was a 2-year-old wolf
wearing a sheep's outfit,
wearing Bermuda shorts that the sheep had
been. And so it was interesting because my dad was around still back then too, and he had a cat when he was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
and when he lost his cat, when his cat passed away, it was so heartbreaking that he went, I'm never gonna have a cat again.
Wow.
never gonna have a cat again. It was a tabby, much like this was a tabby, orange female tabby, which is very rare.
Yeah.
So they were going to get me this cat, but then my dad, when they got this cat, didn't want to give it up. And it was like a big thing to my dad that he actually gave the cat to me because, you know, he really bonded with the cat. And
okay.
So that was like a really sweet thing that he did, and it was like very heartfelt. And at the time, I don't know what I was going through, but I was having a real problem with empathy, and having this cat around kind of opened things up in me.
Yeah.
In a way, it's hard to describe, but I owe that cat a lot, and I love that cat very, very much. And her passing was very, very hard. She was she got sick when I was doing a show in England,
yeah.
and I came home early to kind of take care of her, and you know, and she was a beautiful cat. And she was lovely. So our other two cats, Pia, got two cats from her mom. The first cat was a cat that lived in her building. That was a feral cat. And okay. Then when the building caught on fire, because you know what junkies like doing? Setting fucking fires because they're dumb.
Yes.
Okay. So we had like a person in her building who decided to cook on a stove with a pot and then kept it going long after the stuff was gone. And fires are there. And so the building caught on fire and it was huge fire. Basically, if you're the headline of the paper the next day, it was a rough day the day before. She was the headline. So anyway. But they found this cat in the building, a feral cat, and Pia's mom told her, you've got to take this cat. You've got to take this cat. It's like, I don't have room for a cat. You got to take this cat. And this is before we were living together, but we still didn't know each other. And so she went, okay, I'll take the cat. But it was a feral cat.
Yeah.
So it'd never been around people. It didn't meow. It just went right under her bed and stayed there basically 6 months.
Wow.
You know, day two of having it, the cat got behind the fridge, and in a way that I had to do this real dead pull of the fridge out so it wouldn't rock and crush the cat. It was so hard. And then I had to crawl behind and get her, and I got scratched to shit, just bloodied. And it was like, okay. And she never trusted me after. There was one brief moment where she started to trust Pia, and she went to the bathtub, and she was in the bathtub, and she was getting petted by Pia, and it was really, really sweet. And then something got dropped in the tub, and then the jump. Jumped over Pia's head under the couch for another 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going 6 months of, you know, the under the bed cat. And then Pia's going, oh, you need to get this other cat. I'm like, no, we don't need to get another cat. And the other cat.
So were you living together then?
No, we weren't quite yet.
Okay.
We weren't quite yet. So So she said, you got to get this other cat. And the other cat was a cat that was behind, like Pia used to work in a store that she ran with her mom in New Westminster. And this cat, you'd see her with this lady, and she had this fancy cat. And then the lady decided, you know
did
what I...
Did the lady have naturally curly hair?
good Peanuts reference. The lady decided she enjoyed drugs more than she enjoyed looking after a cat.
Yeah.
And she kind of left...
kind of a natural progression.
Yeah. So again, drugs feature into our getting cats. So the cat got abandoned and was wandering the alleys for like months, seriously months. And every so often, Pia's mom would see it and like, but it might be, she might come back for it. And then one day before a big snowstorm, she saw the cat had fallen behind a restaurant into some vegetable oil. It was trying to find something to eat, and it was like all messed up. And she went, nope, screw this, because the cat's going to die in the cold tonight. Yeah. No. So she took it, cleaned it up, and gave it to Pia. And I was like, oh, here we go. And it was the craziest cat. It was just the craziest cat. You'd walk by, and it would jump on your back and just be, you know, just tear. And it would like... It would pee in your shoes, and it would just be, oh, shit.
Oh, dear.
And then one day I was
so at... So you had two feral cats.
Basically. And so one day I was there, and I decided to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I lifted up the seat of the toilet to use the bathroom, and he beat me to it. And he went there, and I was like, oh, this cat knows how to use the toilet. And then we realized, oh, this is the problem. He's been trying to use the toilet, and the seat's been down this whole time, and he's freaking out.
Yeah.
So as soon as we did that, he started to calm down a bit more. Okay. He went like, okay, things are fine. I can pee. Life is good. He was still freaky.
Interesting,
He was still freaky and super friendly. He was very friendly, but very, ha-ha! And also, he'd been abandoned. But one of the neat things that happened was... because he had been raised by a person, he was a very talky cat. He was like, meow, 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 meow. And then he taught August, the other cat, to talk. But the other cat had never talked before, and so it was learning cat as a second language. So it speaks it with a weird accent. And the first time August ever talked, it freaked Pia out because it didn't sound like any cat you'd ever heard. It was just... meow. It was just like, what's this? And still, when she talks unlike another cat.
And so
just,
the cat's name is?
Oh, it's August is the it's the first cat.
Yeah.
And Charlie, it's short for Charles Lindbergh, which was named by her mom, is the second cat.
Okay.
Who's a Balinese.
Okay.
And very, very smart. And Balinese cats are known for getting stepped on because they are always by your feet. Always. That's the biggest injury to a cat. Balinese cat is like stepped on because it's constantly by your feet. So it's kept us on our toes. And when we moved in together, we moved all the three cats together, and it was crazy cat land. And then occasionally my sister we'd look after her cat. And before crazy cat, it would just be insanity.
Huh.
But Charlie kind of raised August and brought her out from under the couch and made her, you know, and kind of gave her confidence. And,
that's good.
And she learned how to be a cat from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was that's very, good very cool. That's so those are our cats.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So rescue cats are the best cats. And if I was to recommend anyone in Vancouver to get a cat, go to Vokra.
And what?
That's Vancouver something Kitten Rescue Association.
Okay.
But they find homes for cats, and they're wonderful people. My sister-in-law, Vicky, has done like some videos for them with Alicia Tobin, a local comedian. And this is just great. And Morgan Brayton, who's also a local comedian who I really admire, does a lot of work with them. So good cat people in Vancouver if you're looking for a cat.
Yeah.
Now over to you and your...
Caneversary. Because, this marks... Christmas marks our first year with Al.
Mm-hmm.
Al Capone, as he came to us. The dog that... I don't know if we call him a rescue dog. I guess he's a rescue dog because if we hadn't taken him in, he would have been sent back to a kill shelter, and then that would have been the end of him.
Right.
Because he... in Langley, they're humane shelters. They don't kill the animals, but Surrey still has shelters that put the dogs or cats down when they reach a certain time limit, I guess.
Yeah.
2 days. And so...
it's not really that soon.
No,
right?
No.
Okay, good. Wow.
No, that'd be different. But he came to us. I've never really talked about how he came to us, and I'll tell you the whole story.
All right.
It's a terrible story. The original owner was arrested for a terrible crime. Well, he's been accused of doing a terrible crime.
Okay.
So this was...
Has he been convicted of this crime?
He has not been convicted, nor has he gone to trial for this crime.
Okay.
So I'm really wondering what's going on, because last year, a woman was leaving a club in Gastown and was picked up by a person in a van, and then she was sexually assaulted. And so she identified this person as driving a blue van, and that the person was Aboriginal, and so a First Nations person who had done it. So now they looked, I guess they looked through their, however they looked through surveillance video and stuff like that to see if they could find this person. And they found surveillance video of this guy. They didn't have a license number or anything. They just had the description of the van. And so he was driving a blue van through a stoplight around the time that this happened. Mm-hmm. The guy is black. He's not First Nations. Mm-hmm. So it's strange, but they still charged him with the crime. He lost his, basically, since that's happened, he lost his home. He lost his foster son that he had been looking after for 7 years. And he lost Al Capone. Al Capone was put into the pound, was put into the SPCA.
What type of dog is Al Capone?
Al Capone is a mix. He's kind of like a pit bull, but he's like a bull mastiff with Labrador or something. We're not too sure exactly what he is.
I'm just curious, how old is Al?
We don't know.
Okay.
We really don't know about it. We think he's a younger dog, just from his behavior and his liveliness. And he's a very gentle dog because he was living with a young boy for a long time. Like, I mean, he must have been as a puppy, you know, living with this young kid and obviously allowed to sleep in the bed and lay all over the couch and stuff like that, which is a kind of a bone of contention between him and I. But so what happened was, so he got put into the pound, and so this guy was worried about Al. And so he asked someone that he knew from working, he worked in construction. He asked this guy if he would mind, basically they struck a deal. If this guy would go and pay the $400 it would cost to get Al out of the pound, he could have his van. He could have this guy's van. So that the deal was struck. So this guy went, rescued Al from this kill pound, and then took him to his place. But he had puppies, and he thought that Al was being too rambunctious around them, and so he didn't like it. And so he was going to send him back to the pound. But Mila stepped in and said, you know what, we can look after him for a little while. Because she was thinking it would just be like for a short time.
Right.
We would just step in. So Al came to our place. And that's still going on. So obviously it wasn't for a short time.
Right.
I think he went back for one night and then he came back to us again and he's been with us ever since.
So if this fellow goes to trial and is not convicted of this crime, then Al goes back to him.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to keep him away because, you know, it's his dog.
Absolutely.
To me, it's his dog. And I hope that he can, you know, I really hope that he's not guilty. I just feel it's weird that he's been sitting this long without ever going to trial.
Either way.
He feels weird, right? I mean, he can't get out because he doesn't have the money to pay bail. And because of the offense, there's some sort of name for what, like a
flight risk?
Dangerous offender.
Okay.
And so they won't let him out, you know, with the same kind of leniency.
And he can't be in a halfway house or anything.
Yeah, no. Okay. So he's just biding his time waiting for the trial. And I don't know if they're just, because the courts are full, if it takes a long time to get to trial or what. So,
and you have no way of knowing what his situation would be.
No, we don't. Because we don't know
him. You're not in contact with him.
Yeah, we're like three people removed
from him.
Right,
but he knows that you've got his dog.
No, he doesn't know.
He does not know that you have his dog.
No.
Okay.
No, he doesn't. I mean, so I'm hoping that when the time comes, if he gets out, that he goes to the person he, you know, got the dog, and then he'll be able to tell him where he is and stuff like that. Because he does know where...
But you've got no connection with this fellow.
No, we didn't know him at all. Okay. It was just because Millis's boyfriend was roommates with this guy who got the dog out of the pound and got the van. So it kind of came down that way. So it's very, you know, quite a bit removed. And it's possible he's guilty and he goes to jail for doing this terrible thing. And then that's the end of it. I mean, we'll have Al.
In those situations, is it... Does the time he spent waiting, is that part of time served?
It's part of time served. I believe it's double. It counts as twice the time.
Okay,
that's what someone told me, which I thought sounded weird.
I agree. If he's guilty, I hope he's convicted. If he's not,
I hope they let him out.
Yeah,
because if he's not, they've certainly ruined his life. Mm. I mean, he's lost his house, his car, his job, his son, his dog. You know, it's a lot to pay for on someone's on the off chance that you're guilty. So I really hope that they're right. If that's I would rather that he's innocent, but you know, and not just because I want to get rid of Al, which that's part of it, but. Just joking. But
in case Al's listening to this podcast.
I don't want him to get mad at me.
By the way, a lot of our listeners are dogs.
That's true. Because they mistake that they can't read very well, so they think it's sneaky dog.
They are very they're very bad at reading.
They're terrible readers.
You know what? It's good that they can read sneaky though. Good for them.
The other day, Phyllis got up quite late in the day. She got up around 2 in the afternoon. She's off school right now, so you know it's okay to get up at 2, right?
Right.
Yeah. So she got up at 2. Al gets fed.
I think it's all right to do that anyway.
You're talking
to the wrong
guy. That's true. You're not going to get all judgmental, are you?
No, sounds right.
Al gets fed at 4. He thought he should get fed at 2. And Phyllis said, no, it's not your feed time, Al.
Right.
So Al got all mad. So he went down and he swatted an ornament off the tree. And then he was beating it up. he's beating up this ornament because he was so mad that he wasn't. So then Phyllis got mad at him and said, "Al, get downstairs. Get downstairs." So he went down onto the, he was down on the landing, and then he swatted and knocked a bunch of, two boxes of Christmas crackers on, you know, like the kind you pull apart for, for treats. He swatted them onto the floor and beat them up. He was so mad. I want to get fed.
Could I, you know what? I don't think that's what it was.
He's a bit of a bully.
No, I'll tell you what that
was. Oh, what was it? Sorry, explain it.
Well, I mean, it's, I mean, I'm just putting two and two together here, and I'm sure everyone out there listening has already made this assumption.
Sure.
He got abandoned on Christmas. He hates Christmas.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. He was
you're wrong.
He
got abandoned a little before Christmas and he got taken in at Christmas. He should love Christmas.
No. He got taken in
a
by
loving
the,
family.
No,
took
he got
him
taken in by these jerks on Christmas. And so what do you mean, and jerks? So he's like, I wonder how much time has passed. I'm a dog. I know not of calendars.
Yeah.
And it's like the only way he knows that a year has passed is like the Christmas tree is up again. Yeah. And he looks at it and just goes, "Motherfucker, it's been a year." And starts smacking the balls off the tree and smacking the Christmas crackers, like, "Do you want to get fed, boy?" No. I just realized it's been a year. Oh, I'm so mad as a dog.
Just like with babies, you wish you had a checklist that they could just check, you know, things like mad you didn't get fed.
Right.
Mad we don't take you for a walk.
Yeah, and just a couple of years, like Al's on the phone with you and just going, "Hey, remember that time this all happened?" And you're like, no, I don't remember that. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't remember? Rough. You know?
I just want to point out, in the story of my mom, I was not talking about old stuff. I was talking about current things.
Okay.
Because she was condemning my wife for being on strike.
Yeah.
Because it's her decision to go on strike.
And of course, when that happens,
I'm
just picturing it from your mom's point of view. And your mom's going to say, "You know what? I think your wife's wrong to be on strike."
Yeah.
And then you're going to go, "You know what, Mom? You're right. I'm going to go tell my wife
right now
she's wrong to be on strike. Hey, I'll be right back, Mom. I'm just going to put the phone on hold, and I'm just going to go tell my wife that." "Okay, hey, honey, I just heard my mom tell me that." "What? Mom, I need a place to live. Mom, can I come live with you again? Come on, Mom, we're friends, right? We're good friends." Oh, come on. What did she think the result was going to be?
Can I put a bed in the crawl space?
Sometimes people just like throwing a match into the firecrackers and then go, "What's with all the banging?" Well, you threw the match. You knew what was going to happen.
One more thing about Al.
Okay.
Al's been really good because our dog, Boo, who we had before Al.
Now, where'd you get Boo from?
Boo was kind of a rescue dog too. In this,
is Boo named after Boo Radley?
Yes, he is. His full name is Boo Radley Dedrick. But he came from a puppy mill, which we didn't know was a puppy mill. But when our dog Misty, who was a Norwegian Alkhound that we got from the pound as well,
who was an excellent dog, by the way.
She was a great dog, and she was a purebred Norwegian Alkhound.
And one of my favorite things that you used to do,
yes,
was when she was gnawing on a bone, you made her a reporter for a news organization.
That's true.
And that was hilarious. And you would do her voice while she's talking into the microphone, which was actually her just chewing on a bone.
It did look like she was talking to a microphone, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, she was reporting on a story.
Misty here, reporting on events. Yeah. Yeah, she was a great dog, a really good-natured dog. And so she was getting long in the tooth, and we wanted to have a kind of a transitional period with a new dog that she could kind of whip into shape.
Yeah.
You know, and then so, and we really wanted another Norwegian Alkhound. Now, we were so lucky to get Misty from the pound because, I mean, Norwegian Alkhound sell, you know, purebred Norwegian Alkhound sell for a lot of money, which we don't have to pay for dogs. But Lisa saw in the newspaper a Norwegian Alkhound for very little. And so she thought, well, I'll just go look and see what it is. So she got to this place, and it was wintertime, and there was snow on the ground. And she drove into this kind of ramshackle farm. It was obviously this a holding property that someone was renting out while they're waiting to be able to develop it. And someone had, you know, was just renting it out. And they were using the chicken sheds in this property as a kennel. And Boo, he was in a little, because he had kennel cough, she was keeping him in a tent.
Now, what is kennel cough?
Kennel cough is like a sickness that dogs can get, and it's very contagious and can go through the whole. So she had quarantined him, which is fine, but she quarantined him in a pup tent, which is kind of, you know, at least the pup tent works. It was a puppy, but in a pup tent, just off in the freezing cold, off away from all the other dogs. And so my wife, who I'll say is a real animal lover.
Mm-hmm. But a terrible person because she's a teacher. Let's admit that much.
It's also that, yes.
Selfish.
Giving her.
And greedy.
And greedy as well. Oh, and takes so much time off. Such a lazy
bum. I know. Constantly, you look in her eyes and you go, are those dollar signs? It's like, that's all she sees.
The flat emotionlessness of, yeah. of nothing when he's looking at her. And so when she saw the Boo like this, her only thought was, I have to get this dog. Like, I just can't leave him here like yeah. this. He's going to die.
Yeah.
And so immediately she told me, we have to get him. I said, okay. And so we went and got him. And it was kind of interesting because when we got him, we went to like a pet store to get some supplies for our new dog. And when the lady heard where we got him from, he's like, yeah. And just had that kind of thing like, yeah. I know that person and she's terrible. And, you know, and we felt kind of bad that we, you know, she didn't know what it was though when yeah. she went there. But once she saw, like, she felt, it was kind of one of those things like, you know, you can't just leave the dog there. But at the same time, you're supporting this person Absolutely, doing this terrible yeah. thing. But so Boo, even though we had him with Misty and, you know, they got along pretty good, you know, for like an old mama dog and then this little baby dog, they got along okay. But he was a neurotic mess. Like, I don't think it's very good for dogs to grow up in that kind of situation, I guess, because, I mean, obviously people don't like puppy mills. And one reason, I guess, is it makes dogs a neurotic
yeah.
pile of yeah. neuroses, because he's, for a long time, he lived under the couch. You know, I don't know if you ever saw him crawl. I mean, he's a full-grown dog, and he crawls yeah. under a couch. Well, he's okay when he's a puppy, but when you're a full-grown dog squeezing yourself under a couch like water seeping under a door, you know, it's weird. So, but once Al came, he got up. He doesn't sleep under the couch anymore. He sleeps outside, like with us. He doesn't hide in this kind of weird place, and he's really gotten better, I think, in some ways. So, you know, I think if Al left, it might not be very good for Boo. I think that they kind of enjoy each other and stuff. So
now, and yeah. you've got a cat as well.
Yeah, we have another cat who is also a rescue cat. Apparently, this cat was. She was bought by a man, like a girl or a lady, and then she got married. And she and her husband went on a honeymoon for a while, it seemed like a long trip. And so she left the cat with her mom. And when they came back, they didn't want the cat. And so then this lady's like, well, I don't want a cat. So then she, in the Surrey School District, there's like a kind of like
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Jerks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
In the Surrey School.
I bet they'll make good parents, though, one day.
Oh, awesome parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. So in the Surrey School District, it was like a bulletin board for teachers, and they can go on and post messages and stuff like that. And
it's gross. And you know, it's like, and all the messages are just like, don't you love money?
That's
yeah,
right.
I love money. Don't you hate kids? I hate kids so much. I wish I had more money.
I need more time off. I'm so tired of counting my money. And so this lady posted on there that she had this cat.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had a picture of Risa and then
was Risa the name of the cat
yeah,
at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with my wife, but she doesn't like changing animals' names. Like, she feels when an animal's given a name, that's its name.
Okay. Well, with Kinsey, the original name was Kitty.
Yeah.
So screw that.
It's close, though.
It's close.
We've done that with Al, like, because it was Al Capone, and we never call him Al Capone. He's,
no.
He's now Albert, and that's just how it is.
Right.
And in fact, everyone in the house has Bert after
And the original name, I think it was like originally it was Ginger, then it became Kitty.
Yeah.
And then when we got it, it was just like, no, screw this. It's Kinsey. That's clearly what the name of the cat is.
But yeah.
A name for Kinsey Mahone, actually, the literary character. Anyway, go. Please continue.
Because it's Albert, Boobert, Dadbert. And on it goes for the family. Yeah. I'll have Bert. But anyway, so.
So Risa.
And actually, she was claimed by another lady before we could get her.
Boo!
So, but as it turned out that Risa didn't get along with this lady's cat, because she kind of wanted it as a companion for her cat, yeah. but they did not mesh. And so she was a receptionist at the school where Lisa teaches at. And so she said to Lisa, because she knew that Lisa would want it to get her, that she said, well, would you mind, you know.
Do you still want
her? Yeah, do you still want her? And Lisa said, of course. So that's how she came to our place.
Aww.
And when she first came, she, kind of similar thing, she lived behind the toilet.
Yep.
For about a month.
Yeah.
She lived downstairs behind the toilet, and I would just go down and I would pet her.
Yeah.
Where she was, so I would just sit on the floor in the bathroom and just pet her. and eventually she kind of moved out of there and started kind of roaming around downstairs. And then, you know, then started roaming around the whole house.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the terrible incident last year where Albert and Boo cornered her and tormented her for I don't know how long because we were gone. We came home to find the dogs had torn up the entire downstairs. Risa helped them. There's this stuff everywhere because she was like running along shelves and knocking things down.
Aww.
And papers were everywhere. And she was trapped under our hide-a-bed downstairs. And Al and Boo had been barking and barking. And they were hoarse with barking.
Yeah.
They were hoarse. In fact, when we got there, Al threw up because he was just so upset from barking for so long. He's just finally just blah. And Risa came out and she was covered in her own urine.
Oh.
And she was still purring, but she was just because she was happy to see us.
Well, purring
sometimes it can be bad.
Yeah, purring can be bad, yeah.
And so she came out and of course we petted her and stuff. But she's been living outside for a lot of time since then. But she's actually coming in the house again finally. So we're very happy to have her back in the house.
What a couple of dicks.
Yeah, those two idiots. Yes. We felt bad about it. But it seemed fine because they were getting along fine before that, right? And Boo and Reese had never had problems. We have this great picture of Reese sleeping on Ottoman and Boo sleeping on the floor by the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I guess it was last Christmas, or maybe.
Right.
Or the Christmas before that. So it was sucked that happened when Albert came.
Aww.
But anyway, that's the story of
our dogs. So those are the story of all
our pets.
Our pets.
And we're sticking to it.
Yep, sure. And listen, here's the thing. If you've got, you know what? Give us a picture of your pets. Yeah. Go to our message board, leave a picture up of your pet. Tell us your pet story. Why not?
Why
not?
Because
we like animals. There we go. Or, you know, you can complain about your parents. You can do that too. Whatever you want to do. We're at sneakydragon.com. That is our website.
Yes.
If you go to our message boards, you'll find one of our episodes had more comments than any of the others. And I don't know why. But boy, howdy, that one just took off like a house of fire. Sure did. If you go right now, Dave has done something on there that I really like, which is a process post. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Yeah. And every episode, Dave does a title card of, you know, something based loosely on what we've talked about. And he does an amazing job on it. And once a year, he will explain how he did some of the ones he did.
That's right.
And so if you go on there right now, it's called 50 Plus. Is that what
50 more.
50 more.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. It breaks down a lot of how he did it. And it's very cool. Like, as if you're interested in art in any way there, and if you're not, it's still very, very cool to see.
Thanks.
So, you know, definitely check those out.
Pick my best ofs, my least favorites, and... Yeah, it's all very personal, obviously. My best ofs are inexplicable in some ways. So to people outside, they're probably like, why would you choose that? It's weird. But I don't know. It just appeals to me.
But if you're saying that, why did you choose that? To hell with you. You know why? It's all free. Why are you complaining?
But I would like to know, some people have written there already and told me their favorites. So if you have favorites that, you know, or if you even, I don't know, some people might not know that we do that we do title cards every week.
That's true.
And every week, yes, every show gets its own graphic image
right
to accompany the episode.
And say you're listening to our voices and go like, hey, what do your faces look like? There's a way you could find that out.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you. This January 4th, that'd be a Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this when this drops on the 3rd, you got a day to do this. If you're listening to it on the 4th, oh, it's very, very tight for time. And if you're listening to it on the 5th or past, too late, chump. But we're doing a live show. What we're trying to do is there's other local podcasts, and we want to kind of introduce you a little bit to them. So what we're going to do, you'll see on our site that we're going to put this up later, but we're doing a thing called Pod Mash, where we're doing in 1 hour, three podcasts. It's us. It's another podcast called Dazed and Convicted, and one called Science Us. All very fun podcasts. And we're all going to be doing something on the topic of love. That's our topic, is love. So everyone's going to do 20 minutes.
And we have carefully prepared for this.
I've got a quiz for Dave.
Oh.
A love quiz. We'll see what happens. But we're going to be doing that in the back of Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew.
Okay.
It's a bar they call Skinny Fat Jack's.
Yes.
But that's confusing. Let's just say Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew.
That's where the sign says outside.
And the doors are opening for that at 6:30, or it's being seated at 6:30.
Yeah.
And the show starts at 7 sharp. And then afterwards, I think there's a band. Mm. But it's free. So if you want to come, if you're in Vancouver on January 4th, I would love to see you. Come probably around 6:30 because it's going to probably fill up because there's some people who say they're going to come and it's a very small room.
It's very small.
Yeah. In fact, we're probably not even going to be using microphones for amplification. We'll probably just be able to hear our voices. We don't know. The technical side is what we're freaking out about because we always freak out about the technical.
Yeah.
But
it's the unknown.
Yep. The great
unknown. Unlike the unknown we're used to, which is doing the show.
Yeah.
The technical part of
or
it.
Or adopting random animals.
Yeah, that's easy. Hard is the technical part of putting the show on.
Anyway, so if you can come to the live show, that's great. If not, we will be releasing that very shortly, and you will be introduced to two other podcasts. And if this works out, we might do that again.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a nice thing to do because there's a lot of great local podcasts and other podcasts, and we'd love to just kind of do more of that. It's going to be called Pod Mash. So, yeah.
All right.
And is there anything else that we want to tell you about? By the way, it's wintertime. You know, it's a good time to wear sometimes more than one shirt. If you need more than one shirt, on our website, just go to our store. We have a variety of shirts, all designed by Dave, and they are delightful.
Thank you.
And remember, rescue animals are the best animals, so go adopt a rescue animal.
Yes. If you're looking for an animal, adopt a rescue animal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel weird saying that, actually. 'Cause
what?
I don't know, because like most people are like, oh, we should get a dog for our kids.
Yeah.
Let's go get a rescue. No, I don't know if that's a good idea.
You shouldn't get a rescue dog?
For kids? Little kids?
Well, I don't know.
Someone was telling me today that she was at the SPCA and...
this is me always trying to end the show, and this is what always happens.
This couple came in.
Yeah.
She said they look kind of drug dealerish.
Oh,
if
boo.
You know that kind of...
Yeah.
And they wanted a pit bull.
Oh.
And she was pregnant.
Oh.
And this lady wouldn't let them take one. The lady at the SPCA said no.
Okay.
Says, that is the last thing you need in your condition. It's a pit bull puppy.
Right.
With a baby.
Yeah.
No, not good. So, I mean, I'm sure they go somewhere else and get it.
So don't do that. Like, yeah. Bring in your common
sense.
That's
what sense. I was thinking.
Right.
That's what made me think of that.
But,
animals need some help.
And people need some help. And sometimes the animals help you.
That's true.
All right. That's true. We're gonna end by wishing you, I'm going to say this, and then Dave's going to tangent off into something. we're going to end by wishing you the best for the coming year. And hope things go great with y'all. Hope good stuff for 2015.
Yes, all the best for the coming year. That's all I have to say.
Is that all you have to say?
Did I say that in a kind of too robotic way? I felt like I'd said that in a not very emotional way. All the best for the coming year.
Yes. Dave, this has been an emotional episode. You've used up your allotted emotions for the day.
I'm all done.
You're done. You're spent.
Yeah.
You'll be back. Come back next week. Dave will have refilled his emotion chamber, yeah. And we'll be able to talk some more.
It's hard being a semi-sociopath.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye.